From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made with a book report. And to be honest, I'm not even sure if students and teachers call them book reports anymore. Call it a paper, a report, whatever you want. Just picture a student typing up a report, knowing that report is going to have a serious impact on their grade for the semester. 2 years ago, students had all kinds of tools to help them out, but they did not yet have ChatGPT or other artificial intelligence models like it. Today, in less than 24 months, generative AI is widespread among students. A new survey was published about a month ago from the National Art and Science Group. Here's what they found. Nearly all college-bound high school seniors are familiar with generative artificial intelligence tools, and the vast majority of them have used those tools in some way. 95% of college-bound high school seniors were familiar with generative AI. We're talking like ChatGPT and the like. Nearly 70% had used some kind of AI, and roughly half of them, had used AI tools for schoolwork. Nearly a quarter of high school seniors admitted that they had used AI to write essays or complete assignments, not just for taking notes or getting more background on research topics. Now, think about the graduating high school senior. They are seeing just how powerful AI is right now. Some might have been tempted to use AI to do some work. And when they look to their own job futures, what do they see in 5 years, 10 years, longer? Some might see a world in which AI is going to threaten their ability to find paid work. Some are already thinking about ways to insulate themselves from exactly that scenario. It's graduation season, and amidst the celebrations, we thought it would be interesting to hear from freshly minted high school graduates. In general, are they optimistic about the future? Are they pessimistic? What do they think their future looks like? How much do they think technology will influence their futures? What's the impact of AI in their lives right now? I'd like to welcome our guests here, and there are no right answers. That's why they're here. This is going to be a fun hour here. Anasia Z. Flowers is a graduate of Gates Chailai High School who is pursuing a psychology major at MCC. Anasia, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Welcome to Maddie King, a graduate of Webster Schrader, pursuing a multimedia and communications major at Johnson & Wales University. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Where is Johnson & Wales?
Providence, Rhode Island.
Providence, Rhode Island. Randell Warren, graduate of School of the Arts, pursuing a music performance major at MCC. Randell, well, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there's a lot of different ways we're going to take this conversation this hour, but let me just start with this. I want to ask all three of you, I'm going to start with Maddie. Have you used ChatGPT? Are you familiar with that kind of tech?
Yes, I definitely have. I've mostly used like the Snapchat, My AI, and stuff like that. But yes, I'm very familiar with it.
Okay, Anasia?
I never like really use like ChatGPT in particular because it freaked me out. I would go to the Safari search bar and I'd be like, I don't know what's going on here. So I would just be like, free AI paragraph generator and search it in, and then it would give me whatever I needed that day. Yeah.
Okay. Randell?
Yeah, I have used it before, but not like to complete whole assignments.
I'm not trying to interrogate anybody, by the way. Like,
it's okay. We graduated.
We made it.
Whether we use it or not.
Yeah. It's all good.
And they just like, spill it all now. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. They can listen if they want to.
We walked across the stage.
Y'all can't take back my diploma. I'm telling y'all. Y'all not getting it back.
They can go pick it up. I picked that thing up. I got it. Thank you.
Randell, what did it mean to you to get that diploma?
It meant a lot, especially because... I don't know. I guess it was the school I was at. I've only been at School of the Arts for about 2 years. I've been at a lot of different schools that just didn't fit me and what I liked. And when I got to School of the Arts and was able to do what I love, which is sing, and also like get a proper education, I feel like my grades were better. And I just feel like I was so much more happier. And I made like a better connection with the teachers and the students there. So when I walk across that stage, like, it was this one teacher, her name is Brody. Well, not teacher, the vice principal, Ms. Brody, who I ran past everybody to hug her. Like, I just, you know, it meant a lot to me because I made a lot of people proud.
Maddie, what about you?
I mean, it's one more step closer to, like, my future and being able to succeed and do great things for the future. So it was exciting. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Excited.
I'm going to run through a wall. I love it.
Yeah.
Anasia, what about you?
I don't know. It meant a lot to me, I guess, but it like took a minute to like hit that it meant a lot to me. Like, I felt like, yes, no big deal. Like, it wasn't no big deal, but it was a big deal. At the end of the day, as soon as I, like, got to the stage and was about to walk across, I was like, oh, I feel it. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna like, be a person one day. And I, like, live enjoy the person I'm becoming. And, like, all the people around me, I'm, like, seeing they're enjoying the people they're becoming. And, like, all, yes, AI and all that kind of stuff. But, like, maybe I do have hope for this generation. Maybe we will do something. So
I'm about to say, it didn't feel real at all.
Yeah. No, it didn't. It was like a dream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole graduation experience was surreal for you all?
Like, even on, like, the last day of school, I'm just like, I'm going to see these people tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what do you mean I'm not going to see you next year? Yeah. Like,
it's don't crazy. Lie to me right
now. It doesn't feel real at all. And then, like, just the thought of, like, because you, like, be around these people every day and, like, you make friends and connections with these teachers, like, genuine relationships. Yeah. It's just, like, such a scary thought, like, dang, I'm really not going to be back. Like,
I know.
What?
But it's exciting. Right. It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you may come to this point where you know that you're walking out of the last class you'll ever take. You know, now you're all heading off MCC, Johnson & Wales. You got a lot of class, a lot of hard work ahead of you. I still remember the last time I walked out of a class and I knew that was it. I said, that's it. I think that's the last time I'll ever walk out of a classroom for a class I'm taking. And Asia's looking like, what?
I can't take that. Like, don't say that to me. I don't
Why?
Know. This is so weird. Just the thought. I feel like humans never stop learning, so I don't feel like that's true at the same time.
I totally agree with you.
I understand what you mean. Like, I'm never going to have to, like, sit in front of a teacher and listen to them talk. Like, amen. I feel like that would be, like, an amen for me a little bit.
I actually think there's something really important about what you just said, because I definitely feel like I'm always learning, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different kinds of classes you could take. I took a knife skills class for cooking. I mean, of course. But, yeah, I think it was more just the feeling of, okay, I'm not submitting any more papers. I'm not taking any more exams. That's it. It is what it is, and that's a closed book. And maybe that's what all three of you were feeling in different ways. I mean, Randell is walking across stage thinking, whatever, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Because until you get to that point where you're not going to see them tomorrow, that's the inertia of it just feels like it'll just carry on forever. And then you start hitting, maybe in Asia, maybe that's why you didn't think it would be that big a deal. And then you saw everybody and you're like, yeah, wait a second.
Cause
this is real now.
My school, like, did a whole day. We got a new vice principal, like, my senior year. So it was, like, a lot of, like, new and a lot of different changes that were made. So on my last day, we had, like, a giant senior picnic. And they brought, like, bouncy houses and, like, they had catering and all that kind of stuff. They spent, like, so much money on us. And we were, like, maybe those 4 years were worth it. Like, maybe what we did was big. Like, it was something. Like, we worked hard and we all, like, we deserve it. So it was like, yeah.
But let me key in on something Anasia said and ask all three of you about this. Part of what you were saying was that mixed up in those emotions, you can think about the future, you can think about things going negative, but it sounded like you felt kind of hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think right now you're feeling hopeful about your future? I mean, I think that's a good thing to hear. I'm very buoyed by that. But why are you feeling hopeful?
I feel like because, you know, we never have anything to always figure out. And I just, like, looked at everybody else and I was like, neither do they. I was like, not even, not my mom, not my godmom, not anybody. Like, not, I'm sorry, sir, not you either. Like, none of us all
don't,
have
please don't
it
call
wrong.
Me sir again.
I'm sorry,
that's the one request I have.
I'm sorry. They're not, like, no one has it all completely together all the time. So I just feel like that's okay. Like, that's okay, and that gives me hope that it's okay that I don't have it all together right now. I'm not supposed to.
You know who made a remark strikingly similar to that was Michelle Obama. In her biography, she writes about how she was at one of the first sort of high-level dinners with a bunch of people who were supposed to be world leaders and in charge of the most deep and important sort of secrets in government. And she's sitting around with them, their spouses, and they're talking, and she's like, I don't think they have things as figured out as I thought they did. Like, and it's not that there's no there, but it was like, eventually, we all look around waiting for everybody else to have everything figured out. And then at some point, it hits you that, like, nobody has it all figured out. And that's okay. And that's kind of empowering.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly to you in Asia, that was empowering.
Yeah. And I'm like, and even if we don't have it all figured out together, like, maybe we can do it together.
Yeah.
Like, and not like in a cringy way. Like, we're not like gonna go sing Kumbaya and like High School Musical. Like, I don't really want that all the time. I don't, not with everybody, but it's just like we're in this together in a sense. Like, we're gonna go out in the world and we're gonna do things. They might not all be great, they might not all be the best, but they'll be impactful. And yeah.
Maddie, are you hopeful?
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean? Like, about my future?
Yeah, let me put it this way.
Okay.
When you think about your own life, I don't know how far ahead you think. And I don't know what your dreams look like, but do you generally feel like those are within reach? Like, I'm excited about the future, and I think things will go well.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's in reach. You just have to work for it. It's not going to get handed to you, but I think if you really want something and you go after it, it can happen. So I am hopeful. I'm hopeful for everyone. I think that anything can happen if we just put our minds to it.
Randell, are you a hopeful person?
I'm very hopeful. You know, nobody really knows what the future brings them, but I don't know. I'm gonna say, like, you know, I don't know where I'm gonna be in like the next 5 years. I don't know where my friends and the people I went to school with are gonna be in the next 5 years. But I'm hopeful, and I'm hoping that, you know, we all in a good place. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Randall, what worries you the most?
Being an adult.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, throughout my teenage years, I rushing. I can't wait to be older. And now I'm 18 and I'm hearing about all these things I gotta do as an adult. It's like, no, bring me back in time. That's scary.
So this is like the age version of, maybe I'm wrong, but my perception was when I was in my 20s, everybody I knew in their 20s wanted to look 30. And then you hit your 30s and everyone just wants to look like you're in your 20s anymore.
Yep.
So what you're saying is you're spending your whole like teenage years going, like, I want to graduate. I want to be an adult. And now it's here. And you're like, do I?
No, I don't. Literally.
Maddie, what worries you the most?
I mean, leaving my family and like leaving my friends. I think that's probably what worries me the most. I just want to make sure everyone else is okay. And it's going to be hard not to be around them. But I know that being on my own, I can develop as my own person and be who I actually am. But when I'm around my family and friends, it's hard to be exactly who I am.
You guys are going deep on me.
I'm trying.
Anasia, what worries you the most?
I feel like losing myself worries me the most. I don't know. I feel like the reason why I'm able to be so hopeful is that I'm like, I have faith in myself. Like, I know that not all my decisions will be the best, but I feel like I'll always try and move according onto what I think is best for me. So like, losing that makes me feel worried and scared. Like, I want to still have my like core hopes and beliefs, even like carry that throughout college and mm-hmm. you know, life and all that kind of stuff. So
what would challenge those or shake those or make that change?
I feel like maybe stress from like all different types of things. I feel like there are societal pressures in general. Like, there are things that just like play into the way the world works and us as individuals and like our individual lives. So I feel like there are a lot of things, and change is also really scary, and that's like one of the biggest things that we're all going through right now because of graduation and all that.
We're going to try to not just kind of fixate on the negative this hour. I want to, part of what you're hearing from these recent high school graduates is a lot of hope and a lot of wisdom. I do want to talk about some of how they perceive different aspects of our society that have been deemed to be possible sources of disruption or concern. But before we even get specific, just generally speaking, I'll start with Anasia on this one. When you think 10 years down the line, when you think 20 years down the line, when you think when you're my age, 25.
Right.
Young king.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Randell. Thank you very much. Anisha called me sir, so I was like, how bald am I?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be respectful.
So when you think down the line, do you think that whatever challenges in your life happen, okay, but the world will be stable enough for you to live the life that you choose?
Do I feel like it will be?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's kind of a weird big question.
Did we just see the debate the other night? Like, I really don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to be okay next year. Like, it's true. Like, after what I saw, why are we talking about golf on the debate? Like, please just, I just can't. Like, I could run the, maybe if I'm in the chair, maybe then I'll like, be like, yeah, we got this. But I don't know about all that.
Okay. So the short answer is you're not sure.
No.
You don't know. Okay. Maddie, do you think the world's going to be stable enough for you to live the life that you want?
I mean, obviously, I can't tell what's going to happen in the next how many years, but it's not really about, like, the world is kind of about what you do. And I guess, like, if the world isn't stable, then you have to build off what you can and what you can do about it. You can't change what the other, like, things are doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Randell?
Absolutely not. I'm scared.
You're worried.
I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
The world, everything. Yeah. What's going on? It's a lot of stuff going on. I'm scared for the future.
The reason I bring that question up is I am hopeful that teenagers now who are kind of, I think teenagers now are burdened with more concern about pretty existential stuff than when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up in the 90s, we weren't, you know, AI wasn't a thing. And which AI, maybe that's great. Maybe it'll be great. We're going to talk about that in a second. Maybe AI will be awesome maybe I'm wrong about AI. I wasn't really thinking about sort of international conflict, you know, in the way that I am now. And I wasn't thinking about climate change very much. Like those were things that I didn't think about a lot. And what I hope is that teenagers can kind of get their heads around, these are pretty big problems or challenges, but it's okay because, as Anisha said, it turns out there are no perfect experts who know everything. So we got this. It's going to be hard, but we got this. Or, as Randell says, you're worried. There's a lot of things that worry you. But you're a hopeful person, but you're also kind of balancing out that worry, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what, like, usually wins?
That worry. The worry. I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, I stay hopeful. You know, I hope that things are going to be great in the future. Mm-hmm. But the way things are now, what I see on the internet, the news, all that, I'd be scared.
Yeah.
I think you should get off social media. That's what I think. Maddie, when you kind of think about it in that way here, you've talked about the importance of carving your own path, mm-hmm. finding yourself, and being confident, being an optimist.
Yeah.
I want to start by asking Maddie, and we're going to ask all of you, tell me a little bit about what you want to do in your career. So when you, I don't know how much you've got figured out. You don't have to have it all figured out right now, but you are going to Johnson & Wales as a multimedia and communications major?
Yeah, and I'm going to minor in marketing.
Okay. And so what do you think you want to do with that?
Well, what I want to do with that is, like, I love editing. It's always been like a safe spot and such a calming environment for me. So I want to like edit like movies, commercials. I want to like market big brands. Like, I want to like change the way our like marketing is and change the way like media is. Like, I don't know. I think that if there's a different way to market in media, then maybe can help the world a little. I don't know.
So
who knows?
You said you like editing. So you're obviously very good with different digital tools.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay.
All right.
And when you want to change the world for the better with that, I mean, do you think about working for yourself? Do you think about what that looks like in terms of who you're going to work for?
I mean, I think the best way to go about it is working for yourself and just getting gigs. That's probably the best way to go about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you think about technology and the change,
mm-hmm.
Do you worry that some of that could threaten your ability as a human being to get paid for work?
100%. I mean, the first question I asked my dad when I knew that this is what I wanted to do is, will AI take over my work? Like, will this be something that I need to be worried about? But at the end of the day, a human will always be better than a generated tool. So I think that the amount of work you put in, and that's really what matters, genuinely.
I'm glad that you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm sorry that you have to.
Yeah, it's sad.
Because it's, I think there's going to be a lot of change with AI. I'm hopeful that we as a society will make very deliberate choices to say, here's where we think AI is awesome, mm-hmm. and here's where we think, I don't think we should do that.
Yeah.
Because AI is already detecting cancerous tumors better than humans, you know, like it's way ahead in certain things, and it's going to be a really good change. But if it takes your job away,
right,
and it writes some cheesy marketing campaign that I don't even like,
right,
that's not a better change.
No. I mean, I've seen, like, the more you educate AI, the more it grows. So the more it grows, the more we don't even know what it's capable of. Like, it's probably already 10 times smarter than everyone. Like, it's really scary. It's really scary.
So let me ask about this in a different way then. You're 18 years old?
I'm almost 18. Almost 2 days.
2 days?
Okay. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
Here you are, you know, graduating high school, thinking about your future. And a lot of the change that's happening is coming in many ways, whether you or I want it or not. I can tell you that, you know, your grandparents'
it's
generation
happened.
Probably doesn't want it.
Right.
My mother doesn't want it. And it doesn't feel democratic. This feels like a change. When tech changes, it doesn't really change democratically. And a good example of that is just smartphones. So, you know, my mother didn't want a smartphone. She's like, why would I want a smartphone? Well, she's got one now because she feels like she has to have one.
Right.
AI is a whole different thing. Like, if it changes in the way that kind of the way you're talking about with some really complicated societal changes, people are going to feel lost. And does it frustrate you knowing that these changes are happening so fast, could threaten your job, and you don't really have a say in it? Or do you think we have a say? Can we stop it or change where tech is taking us?
We don't. I feel like we don't have a say. I mean, this is stuff that's happening kind of like behind our backs, if you would say, and we kind of don't. But what we do have control of is ourselves and what we can do minus like that. I don't know. If we're also worried about it, we're missing opportunities. So what you have to do is just go for it and live in the moment and not worry about what's going to happen in the future.
I think that's well said. I also think that applies to how we interact with people. It applies to how we use social media. Yeah. I mean, I was joking with Randall. I'm worried about Randall being concerned all the time. So I said, get off social media. you know, I was mostly kidding there, Randall. But every time I take long breaks from social platforms, I feel better mentally. So I don't know how you feel about social.
I mean, everything has positive and negatives, but I mean, I think that I would rather grow up in a world without social media, if that kind of was.
If you had the choice?
Oh my gosh, yeah. 100%.
That's so interesting.
100%.
And it's always been there in your life, right? I mean, like, as far as you can remember, social's existed.
Yeah, would you guys say yeah?
Yeah?
I would say yeah.
Okay.
I never, like, used it because I didn't get a phone, like, until way later than everybody else.
Good for your family.
Yeah, good.
Good.
So I didn't, and I literally, like, didn't get, like, Instagram until, like, 2019. Like, till, like a couple months, like, after COVID started. So that's when, like, everything, like, and so that's when social media really started booming and everything like that. So I don't know, it was weird to be on it right at that time, but I feel like it was just kind of, it wasn't a big part of my childhood though, like, not very much at all.
No, it's the opposite. I'm huge on social media.
Yeah, me too.
I'm on social media a lot. It's not even like, I'm just on social media to be connected with my circle, like my people, my friends.
And is it helpful
my
for
family?
You? Does it do that?
Yeah. So like, but of course, like when you're on social media and you like, you know, you connected with your friends and your family and stuff, but there's still other things that come up, like, and that's what I'm talking about, like the scary stuff, like what is this?
Right.
Like,
right.
So hold on. So Randall, I think what you're saying is if you're on there and you're creating fun content and you're sharing with friends and family, or you're connecting with people who you feel are positive, and then all of a sudden you find yourself doom scrolling, then
yes.
It's like you can get sidetracked.
Yes, because especially like on social media, is like TikTok or kind of Instagram, and kind of like randomizes what pop up on your feed. Mm-hmm. I could be scrolling, just looking at people, cute pictures, cute outfits, you know, la 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 la. Then boom,
yeah,
bombs. Oh,
right.
What's going on?
No, right. But I feel like the positive side to that is that we learn so much more. We are so educated. I feel like
our generation are so much more exposed to so many different things.
So educated.
That makes us better at tolerance and acceptance. Because I feel like tolerance is just like the minimum. And I feel like that's what the world is just getting to. But I feel like our generation is like starting to pave the way to acceptance, which is like different.
So, 100%.
Okay. So let me just throw a couple things and you tell me positive or influence in your life. Insta. Positive or negative?
It can depend on the day, literally.
Mm. Oh, I don't know, Senator. I'm going to make you answer that. That's a dodge. Overall, what do you think?
Positive, I guess.
Positive. But some days negative, but more more positive than negative. Mm-hmm. Instagram, Maddie?
I would say it's a positive thing.
Okay, Randell?
Positive.
Yeah. Okay, TikTok, Anasia?
Negative.
Why so?
I don't know. I just feel like TikTok literally feels like never ending. I remember when I first joined TikTok, I was like, when is it going to stop? I was like, when am I going to get to the bottom? I was like, what's happened? I was like, when do I get to like reload or something like that? I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then I was just like.
Ugh. So you get sucked in?
Yeah, very much. It's very much like a portal. That's the one that everyone always talks about. And it's just like, I blinked and it was 3 hours. Like, I was just like, literally. And then you start getting them annoying, like, hey, you've been on here for quite a too long. And I'm
but
like,
that's your fault.
Right. And I still scroll past and I scroll past.
I scroll
every
right past
time.
It. Like, oh.
Okay, I'm a block.
And they got this
account,
new thing on there where, like, you've been on there too long and it makes you put in this password, like a 4-digit code. Yes.
No.
And I was like, get this out my face. I'm going to put the code in and keep scrolling. Like,
okay. Like I'm an iPad kid. Bye.
Yeah,
like, I don't care. But that's why it has to go. Like, I feel like, as we got Insta, like, that's enough. But same time, like,
it's not enough for me. Yeah, I'm sorry,
but I know that's why I'm like, but there are still, like, that's why I say Instagram is negative too, because it really does show you like random weird videos like all the time. Like Instagram Reels,
like,
is
scary,
like, real
videos
crazy
too. I
and
them
comments
stuff.
Are like, that's what, like,
that's
the comments
negative.
On Instagram Reels is way worse. Like, I've never, like, Instagram Reels is kind of like a copy of TikTok, and but the comments on there are even worse than the worst things you could ever see in life. Like, what is going on?
No, literally.
I would never post on Instagram Reels, ever.
Literally.
All right, Maddie, TikTok positive or negative?
Oh, that's such a hard... I'm going to say positive. But I want to say, like, I'm really in between on that one, because it does. It sucks up so much time. Mm-hmm. People are... Like, kids nowadays, attention span... Probably
terrible.
0.2 seconds.
Let me play some Subway Surfers while you sit here and listen to me talk, because they don't listen.
It's affecting.
Your generation has a hard time listening in conversation.
No, our younger kids.
The little kids.
The youngest.
Like the young Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas.
Gen Alpha.
I feel so bad.
And they're not like, they don't really learn. They don't really know how to like talk. Yeah. So it's
because parents just put an iPad in their face.
Exactly.
And I just discovered influencers that are in like sixth grade that have like a million followers. I'm thinking about my cousin who's like 7. I'm like, this could literally be her. Yeah. Like, I would hate for these. And the comments are like still nasty. I'm like, this is not
and everything.
Okay. Like, this can't be. I don't like
so,
it.
So you're just worried about Gen Alpha.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I am.
They're very worried.
Like, at least I had the chance to, like, not, like, grow up with a phone. Like, it was like a if for us. We were the unknown.
I'm about to
but
say
for them, they have it 24/7. Literally, the first party that my cousin wanted to plan, I want a TikTok party. She literally had a TikTok-themed birthday party. I was like,
right.
I want to say, because also kids also get phones younger than we, like, kindergartners have whole iPhones. So I'm like, I didn't even get my first phone until like right before middle school. Like,
I got mine right in middle school. Like,
I think I got my first phone like 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting them like way younger than that. Like, I'm like, what is going on?
All right, so solve the problems of the world for Gen Alpha now. When should kids get a phone? What age?
Like 12.
I'm about to say that's my family rule. The family rule in my house is 12. I got one a little bit earlier. But
probably 13.
Okay. Yeah.
So 12, 13, 13 is where we are.
Around that area.
Because for like safety reasons. Yeah. So I feel like that's when they start being to be more alone and stuff like that. So,
I'm with you. Turns out though, I didn't have cell phones. I was alone at times.
Well, I'm
like yelling at clouds.
Different world.
But generally speaking, would you say to families, it's better to hold out longer than 12 or 13 than go significantly earlier with
100%.
The phone?
100%.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
If you can, then do. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, if you can, then do, yes.
And the result of what you are seeing is younger siblings or younger kids in your orbit, 10, 11, 12, they can't hold conversations?
Yeah.
They don't have attention spans? Yeah.
I saw something on Instagram and it like actually really scared me. And I do a lot of research about Generation Alpha, and I saw like the eighth grade test, they can't even spell like simple words like because. No, it's right. It's funny, but it's not. It's scary.
Because they're so used to shorthand.
I mean, they're just typing. Yeah. Their phone does it for them.
I want to say I see stuff like that firsthand because I work around the corner at for the city, and I work at this literacy program, this after school literacy program for kids, and like basically teaching them how to read. And then be like kids, like not very, very young kids, like going on a pre-K, like kids who are fully on, like between the ages of like 7 and like 12, like we have to teach them how to read and stuff, like simple things. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, I don't know. It's sad.
Really sad.
And I feel bad. But I'm glad I get the help though.
All right, that's a good thing.
So this is gonna be eye-opening. Anybody your age on Facebook with any regularity?
No. I don't even have
Facebook is so, I feel like that, if you were to ask me that negative or positive, that's negative. That one, Twitter, those two.
Randall says Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter. Take Reddit down.
Very negative.
I've been on that. Yeah, Facebook is a negative because that's where all, I don't even want to talk about what be on there, but it that's where all the negative stuff happen, and Twitter. It's those two right there. Those are the two negatives if you want to ask really that question.
Who, Randall, who is on Facebook? You can be blunt.
Be honest. Just tell them.
Older. It's older generation. Okay, let me say this. The older generation is positive on Facebook. I feel like
like the grandmas?
Yeah, like the grandmas.
That got posted up on me from 2006. Not those pictures. No, they need to take them down. Take Facebook, actually.
I feel like the grandmas and the older aunties, they're very Facebook.
You don't see what they be posting. They be going crazy on Facebook, though.
I say Facebook is negative because it's a lot of, like, vulgar things on there. Like, it's like they be posting, like, if you scroll on Facebook... Like, I remember one time I scrolled on, like, a family member's Facebook, and you don't see nothing but fights and negative things, like, people live pulling up to people's houses fighting and guns and all that. It's scary. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not a big fan of Facebook in the room here, although Maddie seemed kind of on the fence. Facebook?
I mean, it's cute for, like, parents and stuff. No, it's cute.
Takeover. I remember the Facebook takeover because my sister was so mad. I just remember my older sister was, so she was like, well, I guess it's Instagram now. And she was so mad that my mom got a Facebook account. She was livid.
All right, real quick. Is there anything good about Twitter?
No, absolutely not.
No,
don't get an account.
No.
Everybody says no.
This is negative.
100% no.
Just, it's all toxic stuff.
I feel like I got one for like, cute. Like, I got one for the same reason as Instagram, because I got, like, into, like, a music group, and I was like, oh, yeah, I want to follow them on everything, so I got Twitter. And then Twitter was okay, but the communities on Twitter started
not
going.
Good.
They get, like, real nasty.
I'm about to say, like people, like, especially, like, I don't know if y'all know what Stan Twitter is. Like, it's, like, basically
it's
people
terrible.
Are, like, fans of, like, celebrities and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
And if you're, like... They will defend them celebrities with their life.
Oh my
but, like, the way they defend them, like, you know, I'm a Beyonce fan, but I'm not going, like,
I'm
they
not posting your location.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not swatting
they
your
be, like, posting,
no
like sending people death threats and, like, really crazy things. Yeah. And, like, it's just a very toxic space I could not be on a 24/7 daily basis. It's crazy.
Yeah. Not only that, like, fake news, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fake news.
Big
on
Twitter. So, that, too.
So that's a look at what our guests, three recent high school graduates, Anasia Z. Flowers, Maddie King, Randall Warren, That's sort of their take on social. And after we take our only break of the hour, which we'll take now, okay, we're going to come back. And I've got a few other different directions I want to take this conversation as we talk about their graduation of high school, which they all just celebrated recently. They're looking ahead to futures. Two of them going to MCC. Maddie's going to Johnson & Wales University in Providence. And they've got very different kinds of futures. We've talked to Maddie about being a multimedia and communications major. We're going to talk to Anasia about being a psych major. Randell, music performance. So we got a lot to talk about. We'll come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, guest host Leah Stacey previews the July issue of City Magazine. This month's edition is all about the arts, culture, and culinary scene in the Finger Lakes. A Finger Lakes 101 of sorts with the City team. In our second hour, we bring back a recent conversation with Jonah Mendez, who was in Rochester to talk about her career as the first woman to be chief of disguise for the CIA. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we get back to talking about these students and how they see their chances to have future careers, a quick question. I want to know, when it comes to AI, what percentage of your classmates do you think have used AI in ways that they should not have used for classroom reasons, like writing a paper for them or doing something like that? Is that happening, Anasia?
Oh, 100%.
That's happening.
Yeah, 100%.
Do teachers know it's happening?
Oh, also 100%. Yeah. They know.
They don't care.
Yeah,
they don't.
I'm sure they care.
They do. Like, there are a couple. Okay, there were so many times where they're like, I'll run it through this. They like now they have databases that will like see if it's AI for certain things.
Which, so, you know, kind of hit and miss, I think.
Yeah. But so there are a lot of teachers that'll say that, and I don't know how true it is, mm-hmm, but some of them do it, some of them don't. Some people just straight up don't care. I know, like, there were so many of my friends, oh yeah, we had like to write a minimum 5-page paper essay to graduate. I wrote mine because I was passionate about what mine was about, like my what I'm continuing my education on. But there were other people, oh, they fully wrote theirs using Snapchat AI, all of it. I was like, how are you going to?
And they would just tell you this?
Yeah, they would talk about it. The some teachers just don't care, and honestly, they want their students to graduate, so they're okay with it. But like some are just like, okay, like, I get paid either way.
So, before I turn to your colleagues here, let me just ask you then, if you were running a school, would you make any changes, policy? Is there anything that can be done about this?
I feel like I would just make it mandatory for all of the things to be ran through, but I feel like that takes so much time.
To run through like a check to see if there's anything.
Yeah, like
that
run them all through like the databases, but like that's a lot. Like, but there are still so many ways. Like, there, like for math, there's things like PhotoMath and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, that you can use, and you can't tell if anybody used that. You like,
is that cheating? Do you think that's cheating?
That, yeah.
Okay,
it is.
That's
cheating.
Is it cheating to use AI to write your paper?
Yeah, I feel like it's, if you write the whole thing, like there's some stuff, like I've used AI to be like, okay, give me ideas, because like I take psychology, all that kind of stuff. I'd be like, give me ideas about these types of therapies or this type of, mm-hmm, things, and I would like take pieces from it, but then use my own. Like, I wouldn't completely steal from the AI. That's too much. Like, people just steal words. And
but
don't like
but
that.
Cheating is becoming more common because of AI.
Yeah,
true
for
or
sure.
False? Yes.
Yeah.
True. Maddie.
True.
Okay. What can be done?
I mean, if you're going to the extent of like using AI, it's just like, I feel like that's you're already trying. I don't know. I just feel like nothing can really be done, which is kind of crazy to say. I mean, I guess you can run through things, but in the end of the day, how accurate do we think that is?
I don't know.
I'm about to say, because if you take like if you take a period out the sentence, now you read it yourself.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. You wrote it yourself. Right. Yeah. So I mean, it's a hard, hard situation. I feel like, I think you can tell when a person writes something over a generated.
I want to think you can. I think it's getting harder.
It is.
Probably.
Especially if you don't know the person. Like, I feel like, especially like teachers, they don't know all of their students on a personal level. They're not going to know, like, who if you wrote this. Like, they're not going to know. Some people, like, they don't even know their students' handwriting because they don't do anything turned in anymore. Like, we don't do writing assignments straight up sometimes.
Like, especially if you're in, like, bigger schools with more students, mm-hmm, like, it's harder. Like, Like, I noticed that transferring from a smaller school to a bigger school, like, mm-hmm. when you go to a bigger school, the connection with your teacher is not really the same. So they don't really know about you, your handwriting, how you write. It's really
how
different.
How you talk, how you interact with
it. This sounds like it's going to get hard to be a teacher, just to kind of...
Seriously.
Yeah, teaching, there's so much. My school's art department, we had to have, like, other teachers, like, from retirement come back because we were so understaffed. Like, there were teachers, like, new teachers still coming in, like, brand new teachers, teachers that just graduated and could teach now. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to come in. We can do this. And then they don't know how to handle it. Partially, probably because of college is also changing because of AI and things like that. So I feel like they are also going through different things. And they're coming through and teaching high school students. They don't know how we are. And we're changed also because of the pandemic and everything, too. So it's just, and, like, our whole graduating class is like the pandemic baby class of 2020. So
literally, like, most. Yeah. I was gonna say literally a lot of people only walked across that stage because of COVID. Uh-huh. Like,
that's also
that's literally like
we got lucky.
Lucky in what way?
Because like during COVID, like they was just kind of passed to people. Like I'm not gonna like.
Oh, you're saying there's people who wouldn't have graduated?
100%. Yeah, like not on time at least. Yeah.
No, not on time.
Okay.
Not on time at least, like.
The Regents.
I'm about to say they didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to do the Regents, which is required for us to graduate. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a good test taker, so I don't even know if I'd have.
My school, we still had to take our Regents, so we still took ours. But there was just like it wasn't as much pressure. Like we don't have to take. I feel like Regents are also going out like SATs are. Like no one is really taking them anymore. Just like no one takes the SATs anymore. So I feel like it's just.
Well, it depends on what school you go to.
Yeah.
Like, some of them like it's you either got to pass that Regents, you won't pass that stage.
Yeah, that's
like fine. I had a few people like this year at my school like. They couldn't walk, like, they passed the whole year, but they couldn't walk across stage because they failed, like, a three-hour test, which I think is unfair, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
So before I read a couple emails, and then we're gonna grill Randell and Anasia about their futures, just like we grilled Maddie. We're talking to three recent high school graduates. Can I just briefly ask all three of you, what you just described for teachers is a really challenging situation that's only going to get harder with AI. With the opportunities to cheat, the opportunities to use AI in ways that aren't just supplementing what you're learning, but maybe just kind of doing the work for you. At the same time, I think you're going to see more teachers challenged to be better teachers in the classroom setting and say, we're going to do the work here, and I'm going to be a great teacher, and I'm going to impact your life, and I'm going to show that you are loved, and you are supported, and you are challenged here. And it may be a little different how you are assessed, et cetera. But I want to ask you what makes a great teacher. Maddie, is there a teacher in your life? I don't have to name any names, but what makes a great teacher now?
Connection. I've been so lucky with the teachers that I have had. Just teachers that help you and make you understand and actually spend the time with you. If you're putting in the effort, obviously, you can't just expect they're going to want to spend, like, do that. But... So a teacher who genuinely cares about you is really what makes a good teacher in my eyes.
And it sounds like they have to be, at least in your mind, authentic.
Yes, authentic.
Like really,
that's
100%, truly cares about you.
That's 100% authentic in every way.
Okay, Anasia?
I feel like they have to be a human, and they have to just recognize that you're also a human too. We're not little babies, like, we're not little kids, and just treat us like how they want to be treated. Like, it's not that hard. I have, like, three good favorite teachers that I had throughout my high school that, like, and they were all, like, just real, and they all knew me, and they all just wanted to know, and they, like, when they saw that I was sad, they asked me questions, and, like, it was that easy. They just talked to me. They cared. They
empathy, compassion?
Yeah, just simple stuff like that, and when I would struggle, I would talk to them, and when they struggled, they talked to me, too, so it was just, like, a very genuine thing.
Okay,
like,
what about you, Randell?
Mutual respect. I feel like when, like, a teacher or even like just adult in general like respects you, like you just have that like the feeling to respect them back. I don't know, I just feel like it's my being in school, like it's there's always like those few teachers that just talk to you crazy, like you're not like you're not a human being, like you're not somebody's child.
Yep.
Like they just don't have no, like they don't have no respect for you, but they expect for you to respect them, which of course respects your elders,
they're
but at the same time,
respect goes both ways.
But at the same time, respect goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, I feel like those teachers that had mutual respect for me, mm-hmm. I've always just, like, off the bat had respect for them. Like, you know, they talk to me like I'm a human. Like, I'm still your student, but they talk to me like, you know, not like we're equal, but like they talk to me like I'm a human. And I just have that same respect. So, I feel like when that comes, then a great relationship comes after that.
You can still be a great teacher in the age of AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Dell writes to say, for what it's worth, every generation fears for the one coming after them. And each and every time, they turn out just fine. We often lament that kids lack the skills we had, but they have brand new skills we never had. I remember there was a big, angry push when cursive became less relevant and therefore less taught in schools, but I can't see anybody as worse off for not knowing how to write in cursive. The world changes faster than we think. Some of the harder lessons for us older generations to learn is to get out of the way with how we used to do things and let the newer generations do it their way. And from what I'm hearing, these your panelists are going to rock the world, and whatever they do, I'm sure will be great. That's from Dell. So,
thank you.
So, on that note, we talked to Maddie about future career. And Asia, briefly, you're going to be a psych major at Monroe Community College. Yes. Is that AI proof?
I feel like it is, because like when we were talking about AI is intelligence. It talks about intelligence, but it's not emotional intelligence. I feel like that's what it takes to be a psychology major and just to be like anything with that in general. It's a truly human thing, like completely.
Okay. I love the idea that emotional intelligence is going to be harder to replicate. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sitting here saying, well, that's why Anasia chose this career, because it's AI proof. Hopefully it is AI proof, right?
Yeah.
But what do you want to be doing in 5, 10, 20 years?
So I know with at least the MCC path, but I feel like in general, as a psychology major, I feel like there are two ways you can take. You can like take the more like psychologist, like med route, like that way. But I don't really like science or math. That's not really my thing. I would do more like the social worker, like talk therapy, like emotional intelligence, because I just want to be able to connect with other people who are like me and sit and be able to speak and not even always have to talk to people, just, you know, connect. So.
And you're pretty comfortable that this is what you think you're going to want to stay with?
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. That's great.
That is.
It's great to be 18.
Not yet.
Not yet either.
Oh, I'm the oldest? Oh. Oh my gosh.
18?
Yes.
Randell, and you are a music performance major at MCC.
Yes, I am.
What are you going to be using that for?
Well, I've always wanted to be a famous singer. I like performing. I like acting. I like dancing. I just like all around performing. Like, I love that. So, yeah.
Okay. And how do you feel about the chances that AI, which is already writing music?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not AI proof. It's not just writing music, but it's replicating voices. Like, it's crazy.
I don't like this. You guys can talk
scary.
Me out of this, but I don't
because
like this.
I'm about to say, because like I be on TikTok, which you know we talked about earlier, but like I be on TikTok, and AI can completely replicate like famous singers' voices, which is another scary. They might be out of job too. They take the voices and like put them on different songs. They'll take like Beyonce voice and then put it on like an Ariana Grande song, and it just be like it sounds just like Beyonce. Like it's the music, singing, rapping is definitely not AI proof, and that's probably gonna be the first layer they chop off when it comes to.
But they're gonna
the
take
whole AI
jobs
thing.
Away from people who are actually trying to
exactly.
to get paid
but
for
I'm
their
artistry.
Saying,
there was that one movie that Disney made that was like mostly AI. Wish you remember that? Like it was like
yes.
it was, written, but you know how it fell off so bad because it wasn't any good though. Like
right.
I feel like it can't, but it can never. I feel like it can write. Yes, it can do that. And it can sing. It can do that. And it can even animate, because that's what they tried to do with that movie. Right. But it was still, it'll never be the same. It's still, it's something off. It's something not very authentic, not very human about it.
Always.
And I feel like that's the same thing with the voices. Like, they'll, I'm sorry, they'll never be able to, like, do Kendrick Lamar. They'll never be able to have the same, like, the same voice, the same swag.
I'm gonna say, I don't
like,
think
they don't
it's
got
the
that.
Same. I don't think it will 100% take over, like, you know, music, like people who sing and people who rap. I'm just saying that, like, there's some things, you know, like, there's some things, you know, people in the studio, they might not be able to do, like, vocally. Like, everybody's vocally different.
Yeah, because I remember everybody was already, you know, the audio tune. Everybody was already using auto tune.
There's
a
thing called ghost singing where they might bring another singer, like, who's not really known.
That type of stuff.
Who's not really known to, like, record certain parts of a song. So I'm saying, like, vocally, like, maybe somebody not, which it could be a good thing, because if you know, if you maybe you singing a song, somebody give you a song, but it has notes too high or
but
too
I feel
low,
like that's away from performance.
or what
can
do.
You can't get me on board with that, Randall. I think
oh,
you gotta
I'm
hit.
Not getting on board because that's not gonna be me. I'm gonna figure
Scott
out how to do it.
His silly voice that he used in his mic and his auto tune. Remember when he fell with the auto tune on? Like, it's just not.
It just don't hit
right. It's not gonna do it.
You said that it can't replicate Kendrick Lamar. I think it could probably do Drake, but not Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Okay.
True.
I want to thank our guests for taking the time to tell us about where they are now as they graduate high school, as they look to their future, as they see this changing world around them. A ton of wisdom this hour. And they didn't have to say yes. They gave up a day of summer vacation to come in here and share that wisdom with us. So Randall Warren, a graduate of School of the Arts, pursuing a music performance major at Monroe Community College, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me once again.
Maddie King, graduate of Webster Schrader, going to pursue multimedia and communications at Johnson & Wales University. Change the world. Thanks for doing it.
I will. Thank you.
Anasia Z. Flowers, graduate of Gates Chailai High School, pursuing a psych major at MCC. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Happy to be here.
They should get their own pod. They should just come back once a month, and I'll just step aside.
How much we get paid?
Yeah,
I do it for free. I just like talking.
We pay you for your labor around here.
Okay.
From the whole team at Connections, thank you for listening. We are back with you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.